Welcome to the Cannabis Therapy Podcast. I'm your host, Earl Carruthers, and I have been a serial cannapreneur in the growing, processing, and retail space for over 8 years. And we are here to learn together to get a well-balanced understanding of cannabis and cannabis products. Tune in every week for quality cannabis education for your canna inspiration. Hello, 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 and what up, dope? We should be live. You know, just checking out the live signal over here. Seems out we are live. Internet's good. Let me know if you can hear me, if my sound is good. This is the Cannabis Therapy Podcast. Yes, it is, the live version. This is live. If you have questions and or even answers or even comments about our topic today, we are going to be talking about the 9 cannabis businesses that do not require a license. The nine cannabis ancillary businesses that do not require a license. And again, you guys are watching, if you're watching this live, or if you're listening to this on the podcast app, this is the Cannabis Therapy Podcast, and this is our Cannabis Connect series, the podcast where we really help you get a well-balanced understanding about cannabis. Cannabis products, cannabis itself, the history of cannabis, the business of cannabis. We get into the science of cannabis. We get into some do-it-yourself things about cannabis. We get into growing about cannabis. And this topic today, this series, is our Cannabis Connect series, where we're going to be talking about getting into the cannabis business and the 9 business types that do not need a license. Yes, because we do know that to get in this game could cost a hefty penny. Yes, it can. Now, I know we had a special guest that was going to be coming on today. Just a little announcement about that. There was an unforeseen emergency for that guest. He was not allowed, or schedule did not permit to come on today. However, we have a motto here at Craft Cannabis Club and this Cannabis Therapy Podcast to keep shit moving. So we are going to keep it moving, with or without the guests. And yes, I have some things in my mind to talk about this topic. So believe me, this is a really, really important and touchy topic to me personally, for the fact of, yes, trying to get a license, trying to climb that ladder of getting one of the state licenses was a very uphill battle, only to fall short at the 1-yard line. Yes, we'll talk about that story another time. However, we're not going to talk about what we can't do. And there's a lot about what we cannot do in this industry. Yes, it does cost a lot of money to get into this industry. Yes, it is set up. The game is rigged to get into this industry. But again, just like how we did not have a guest show up today, we're going to keep shit moving. And this topic right now is about how to keep it moving with a business that does not require a license. Yes. So if you're out there, say hello. This is totally interactive. Your comments come up. We have Jen in the background. Jen is going to be saying hello. I'm sitting here, Ash, and didn't even take a hit yet. Anyone out? Look at that, talking. Jen is out there. She's going to be posting you guys' comments. As you guys do comment, come in. We do have some pre-submitted questions. Thank you for those who maybe could not have catched it live today because of various reasons. Maybe you're working in the middle of the day. And yes, this is a green day. Saint's Irish Day. Hopefully on this Irish holiday, you guys are enjoying your higher-ish state. Ha, 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 ha. Crack myself up. All good. So, yeah, let me know. I'm not just, I just see a screen. I see some eyeballs watching. Just want to make sure that you guys are out there. Just say hello, what up, doe, to me. I say what up, doe, back to you. And we are good. Thank you. Appreciate that. Hello to you, too. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. So we're going to get into the businesses. Let me pull up my slides here. Let me pull up my slides. Oh, bam. Let me move. Let me get this right there. That's where I want it. We're going to go back here. All right, cool. So we're going to talk about the 9 cannabis businesses that do not require a license. The goal for this is to really spark some ideas, spark some interest, some things you probably didn't think about as far as these different business types on how to get into this game. Because a lot of times we really just talk about getting a retail license. I mean, that's the most thing that we see. We see dispensaries. We see retail licenses, or we see grows. Now you see laboratories, and you think that those are the only things that's needed to get into this industry. But there's tons of other opportunities that do not even require you touching the plant that you can get in and do not cost nearly as much as it does for a state license. And part of the reasons why we're talking about this is, again, we talked about the cost. I mean, you're looking at how much does it cost to get into a retail or a grow or a process license. I mean, you're looking at least having $300,000 just to get things set aside to get going. You're looking at least having $500,000, really, bare minimum, to really be in position to succeed in this industry to start off with. You're talking about inventory. I mean, to even get to the table per se, as far as looking at your licensing fees, looking at your attorney fees, looking at your application fees, your CPA fees, your architect fees, the accounting fees, the realtor fees, all these fees add up. I'm getting your business plan together, those fees, whether you went through an attorney or just a business plan consulting, those fees, doing market research, all these things, acquiring a building, all that requires capital, and it weeds out a lot of people from getting into this industry. But again, we're going to talk about how we can get into this industry without having to get a license and needing over $300,000 to just be able to play in this game, So part of the reason, again, is because of cost. And the reason why I think a lot of people want to get into this game, we're going to talk about how the industry is growing. We know that people talk about that this is going to be a $1 billion market. Last, I believe in 2016, it was about a $16 billion market. Right, I got up right there. It's projected to go to $50 billion. I mean, I heard $60 billion, $70 billion, whatever. It's going to be a big-ass market. How about that? It's going to be a very big market. And are you going to have an opportunity to have your piece of the pie? Are you going to be able to capitalize off of this market that has disproportionately affected people in certain areas? Because this war, it was never really about the drug per se, the plant, which I don't really call a drug, unless we're fairly saying that all drugs just alter our mindset, which coffee technically is a drug. Peanut butter could be a drug. Sex could be a drug. Cannabis, sure, if you throw that in there as a drug underneath that conversation. However, this plant, this war on this plant was never about the plant. It was always about the people. It was about trying to oppress certain people or whatnot, control certain people or whatnot. It was never really certain groups of people. Yes, Black, those who were poor, and also those who were speaking against wars as well. So it was set up that way. And now as we see now this opportunity, we understand it was one of the biggest lies ever. I say it's the second biggest lie next to when the serpent told Eve that it's okay to eat from that apple and see what happened after that. A lot of issues after eating from that apple. However, a lot of issues also came from this war on this plant, indeed. And right now, as things are getting untangled and things are getting legalized, for those who have been disproportionately affected, are they going to be able to have an opportunity in this fast-growing industry that we say is going to be a $50 billion? I believe last year it was around a $16 billion industry. So even at $6 billion in 2016, you see it was $16 billion just 4 years later. So yes, these projections are definitely there, but are we going to be able to get a seat at this table? Another thing too about the growing of this industry is jobs. You hear a lot, there was an article, I believe, by Leafly back in February that the job market in this industry, not just you being an owner in this industry, but the job market just working in this industry has went up 32%. There's a 32% growth of jobs in this industry, despite the pandemic that we have been going through, that the jobs in this market has increased, which goes to show that, a lot of investors see that this is a industry that's going to survive. It's a plant, no pun intended. It's a weed, and it survived a lot of damage, a lot of wars, and so can this industry survive a lot of different phases of the economy. But are those jobs being fairly distributed? Who knows? So if you're out there, again, say hello. This is a totally interactive. I'm getting into the 9 different business types of cannabis, and this is the Cannabis Therapy Podcast. We didn't have a guest. If you guys are looking for a guest, he had to cancel last minute. But again, show's going on, and we're going to continually talk about these businesses. And my goal is to really start to hopefully create some ideas within you to think outside of the box and not think, yes, this is a growing industry. Oh man, it's cost too much to get into it. Think not how you can't get into this industry. Start asking yourself the question, how can I get into this industry? How can I participate? And that's the point of this conversation. The point of this conversation is to draw ideas, to maybe one idea, just need one. One idea of what we're about to go through right now, of the nine different type of businesses that you can get into, just one of them sparks you to be able to get into this industry, can change your life. So that's the goal of this whole conversation. So yes, this is a big growing industry, and we're going to get into why ancillary businesses, meaning businesses that do not have to touch a plant, why they're booming. Part of it, I mean, this is an industry. Think about any other industry, whether it is tobacco, whether it is beverage industry, whether it's a health and fitness industry. It's not just those who are directly teaching health and fitness, not just the personal trainers themselves, not just the gyms, but the tools that are needed for them to train, such as weights, the softwares that they need, the consulting that they need as trainers, the coaching that they need as trainers. Even though that those business types are not necessarily touching and helping the client directly, they can indirectly affect the client. So let's get into some of these right now. Number one, we're going to get into packaging and labeling. Yes, packaging and labeling. Think about things. If you have, again, when we're talking about getting to the cannabis business and we're talking about packaging and labeling, if you have experience with packaging and labeling, maybe you work for a packaging and labeling company. You put the word cannabis with it. Now you can do cannabis packaging and labeling. So if you have bags, if you specialize in handbags, or you specialize in packaging labeling for candies, or maybe packaging labeling labeling for food, you could take that same expertise and that same knowledge and transition it into the cannabis business. All you're doing is just putting cannabis in front of it. So a lot of these industries that we're going to get into, think about how you can put cannabis in front of it, and that's how you can specialize. But there's a few players in this industry, yes, in packaging and labeling, but there's still hundreds of opportunities to grow. And as we think about these industries, think about this. What problem can we solve? Right now, we're talking about packaging and labeling. If you consume cannabis right now and you get a package or you see labels and you find some problem with it, harder to get, some things are childproof, but maybe you don't like the fact that maybe a lot of these glass jars are going out there. And man, you really not using all these jars. You may be getting an eighth a week or whatnot. You got a whole bin full of jars. What to do with them jars? Some stores may take some jars back. Some of them don't. Maybe you can even have a recycling business of glass jars to be able to say, you know what, donate glass jars, put up how you got clothing boxes around, you donate clothes, donate your glass jars, help the industry become green. I mean, it's a green industry, but literally be green with helping us recycle a lot of these packaging and labeling. Because depending on what state you're living in, some of them require tons and tons of extra packaging and extra labeling to where some of that stuff needs to get recycled. So not only the fact that you may not say you don't work for a packaging and labeling, you can't create packages yourself, or you can't not design them. Yes, this is a way to get into it as designing and manufacturing. You don't have to touch the plant. You can sell this to the consumers. You can sell this to businesses. But even if you don't even have that skill set for designing and manufacturing, you could think about, you know what, man, I feel like there's a waste. Maybe I can help recycle some of this. Or maybe you can come up with a quicker labeling machine. Maybe you work inside a dispo. Again, you're always looking at the problems. What problems? In a new industry, this is an entrepreneur's gold mine. This is a gold mine, meaning in a new industry, there's going to be tons and tons of problems. And when there's a problem, that is a ding ding for an entrepreneur. If there is a problem, you want to figure out the solution. That's what entrepreneurs do. As an entrepreneur, you are figuring out solutions to fucking problems. That's what you do. And in this industry, there's a ton of problems. So if you see problems in the packaging and labeling as you're getting them, if you feel like things can get designed better, or you feel like the messaging is different when you get into the messaging of a cannabis culture, there's people coming from different industries thinking, oh, how are we communicating message to insurance customers, or how we package and label food, that's going to just translate over to the cannabis industry. It's a different culture. And you having an insight in this industry on consuming consuming, buying, whatever you're doing with, you're involved in this industry, you have some insight that other companies do not have. And you can even consult packaging and labeling companies on your ideas of, you know what, I think that this could be this way. So thank you. What up, though? Smoking and cooking. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. What's up, fam? We are talking about businesses that do not require a license. And one of the categories is packaging and labeling. Again, think about how you can put cannabis in front of that. There's a lot of issues when it comes to pre-rolls. You know, how do you like to consume? There's individual containers. Maybe you can come up with a container to where, you know, maybe you light a pre-roll. And sometimes, like right now, say you put this out, you're not going to smoke the rest of it. Say, you know, and sometimes when you close that lid, you, next time you light this back up, it got that burnt taste to it. Maybe you can come up with an idea of how you can have a container to where when you put out a cannabis joint or whatnot, that it can actually reserve its freshness, where it doesn't keep that burntness. So, I mean, I'm again, we're talking about ways of how you can still get into the industry without having to go for the big five. The big five meaning retail, big five meaning processing, big top five meaning growing, big five meaning getting a laboratory license or becoming a licensed transportation company. All those still require, I mean, you at least six figures. I believe it's at least 300,000 or more to even get any of those type of licenses. But here you can start off with a couple thousand and really start getting into this industry without having to spend thousands and thousands and thousands. So packaging and labeling is one. The next one, software technology. Yes, software technology is huge. You think about when you walk into, next time you go into a retail store, or if you grow, you walk into a grow, just look around, take a second, and look at all the technology that is going on. Think about when you're walking in, you're getting checked in. You know, there's cameras, there's a check-in desk, there's computers, there's a software to how you're getting registered. And there's when you're going to even go to the display. Maybe there's technology as far as you got to scan something to see what the name is, or how you smell something, how you look at, maybe there's menus on the TV screen. All this has to do with software and technology. And as you're going in and you're experiencing, again, thinking about what problems you're solving. I'm going to back up for two things you need to think about if you get into any type of business, and even type of cannabis business, whatever problem is. Whatever business it is. One, who are you serving? Who are you serving? What market are you serving? Who is your target market? Who are you serving? Is it businesses? Is it consumers? And then niching that even down. If it's a business, what type of business? Is it a retail business? Is it a growing business? Is it the insurance business? Narrow it down. Is it businesses in a certain area? Think about consumers. You can't, if you want to serve all things to all people, it's going to be an issue. I mean, you can't satisfy everybody, but you can, as a consumer, say you want to target 45-year-old soccer moms. Perfect. Narrow it down. You narrow down to women, but even narrow that down to 45-year-old soccer moms. So then now this software technology is helping for the busy 45-year-old soccer mom how to pick different cannabis items, how to search cannabis products, how to journal cannabis products. So you can come up with your own software technology. If it's a business and you see that, man, it takes too long for me to check out. If you go into the business, they're going to need point of sale systems. You go into a business, if you're growing and you need to figure out, man, every time I keep checking my pH, I got to keep doing this manually. Sometimes some of the pH pens tell me that I cannot leave this pen inside of there. If you cannot leave this pen inside of that reservoir because it's going to get corroded, maybe come up an idea or a technology to where that pH reading, that pH meter could actually be sitting in your reservoir in a way to where it's not getting corroded. I mean, it's just different software technology. So this, in this industry, think about it. So one, we talk about packaging and labeling. Two, think about if you're looking to get into this industry, there's no point for you to start saying, you know what, I'm gonna get a grow license, but you never fucking grew before. I mean, if you never grew cans before, and you want to say, you know what, I'm going to spend $300,000-$500,000 to get a grow license, you have no experience. I mean, what do you do now? I mean, I'm sure you're not just doing nothing. What do you do right now? Take that expertise and transfer it over into cannabis. Again, if you're a software engineer, become a cannabis software engineer. If you sell credit card ATMs to Coney Islands, think about selling credit card ATMs to cannabis businesses. So, I mean, think about what you already do, the lowest hanging fruit, what you do right now, transfer that into the chemist industry, and then evolve constantly a little bit more. But the quickest way to get into this industry, we talk about how fast it's growing, is to take what you already know, what you already like, and what you already love, and you have the expertise, take that and transfer it over into the cannabis industry. I would rather you do that rather than you trying to. A lot of people think when you get into the cannabis industry, when you get into the cannabis industry, you think just because the word cannabis is involved, that things are just going to pop off. Oh, you know what? I don't know shit about retail, but I'm just going to open up a retail business. Just because it says cannabis is just going to succeed. It's still business. And I believe the last factor was 80% of businesses fail in the first 5 years. And then another 90% of businesses fail in the, 80% I believe fail in the first 2 years. Even like 90% businesses fail like in the first 5 years. So if you don't have any kind of expertise in that or don't have a great team for that, I mean, think about what you already know. And do you even like it? Do you even like dealing with people? If you don't even like customer service and dealing with people, why would you get into the retail business? I mean, think about that. You still want to like what you do. This, even though cannabis is there and we think, oh, we've got seen dollar signs, cannabis. I mean, you think you're just going to be smoking weed all day and this is going to be a great job? No, this is business. This is a hustle and it's cutthroat. There's people with big money, small money, no money. Everybody's trying to get in this industry. And if you don't like what you do and you don't wake up in the morning loving what you do, I mean, you're still not going to like it or love it just because it says cannabis on it. So think about what you already like, what you already do, and how you can transfer that into the cannabis industry. All right. So that's software technology. Let's get into business services. Yes. Business services. I know one of the obvious ones. Again, if you're a tax attorney, sure, you can specialize as being a cannabis tax attorney. If you're a tax attorney, there's no need for you to say, I'm going to give up my tax attorney practices and start growing. And you have no experience. Take what you already know, transfer over to the cannabis business. If you are, say, a realtor, now you could be a cannabis realtor. Other service. If you're in marketing, think about how you could be a cannabis marketer. For example, we did the Homegrown Weed Summit. It was our first summit that was bringing over 25 different growers with experience together to teach on the techniques, tips, and tricks on how to grow clean, elite cannabis from home. Now, to get the word out about the summit was hard. Not because nobody wants to hear about it. It's because there's a lot of rules and regulations when it comes to marketing. Like you can't do Facebook ads. I mean, you may see a couple people wiggle through and, you know, some people have some secret formula sometimes about having the word cannabis and maybe cannabis stocks or something like that. Or maybe if they say nutrients, again, they're not really saying cannabis nutrients. They're just saying plant nutrients. But if you have a Homegrown Weed Summit or you have a cannabis business at these retail stores, they have a problem right now trying to reach people. So in marketing, one of the best ways people in this industry can reach people is through influencers. But being able to connect with those influencers, you could be a cannabis influencer yourself, or you could be the one, if you don't want to be in front of a lot of people, I don't like social media. I'm not looking, you know, if it wasn't really for trying to build a brand here, I love being low key. I do not want my face on camera. I'm not looking for extra attention. I don't need more friends. However, I do understand that people want to put a face with the brand. Here I am. Well, with that said, trying to find influencers, if you can coordinate influencers, you could be the influence marketing agency. People come to you to help take their product to multiple different influencers. That's an idea. So, but not just an influencer for, you know, hotels or influencers for other products. Take that and be specialized in cannabis influencers. Or you can even narrow that down even more. Well, you're a grower cannabis influencer or a retail cannabis. So dispensaries come to you. So, I mean, you can just niche it down. Again, who you're trying to serve and also what problem you're solving and then how you're solving it. So in business services, this is huge. You got public relations. You got branding coming into play. Different services, consulting. Some of us have been growing in closets for a long time. Some of us have maybe grown in warehouses for quite a bit. And maybe you cannot get a license, but there are people who are getting grow licenses that are looking for people to give them advice on how to grow. So you can position yourself on just consulting people on how to grow. Maybe, you know, there's people who are looking to get into into consuming cannabis, but this is a wide world of a lot of information. There's a wide world of, man, how do I really roll this joint? Or how do I really know which kind is best for me? Maybe you could be a personal cannabis concierge. All right, start with that. Start with being a person, because you've been consuming for so damn long. You know how to roll. You know how to pick things. You know how to look at things. And someone just needs to call somebody and say, look, man, I really need some help. I want to start consuming cannabis, but I don't really know where to start. Boom. Who they call? You, because you're known as the personal cannabis concierge. Service business. No license needed at all. Minimum investment. Start branding yourself and then grow from there. Now you got a foot in the industry and then see where that road takes you. There we go. Any other services ideas, let me know out there in the comments. You can think of any services. It's all good. I mean, shoot, if you're a stripper, I mean, hey, cannabis stripper, maybe you specialize in cannabis stripping. Is that such a thing? I'm making it up right now. But think about it, though. Maybe you have a hemp pole instead of a metal. The hemp pole right there, you got cannabis bikini or something like that, whatever it is. You know, go with me here. Just think about what you're doing as serving. Maybe you drive, you know, you're a cannabis, you know, some type of service driver. You know, some people maybe not promoting them smoking, maybe some laws and stuff like that, but you don't mind if you smell like cannabis. Some people don't want to get into a certain car or something like that because they know they maybe smell like weed. Maybe you can specialize in a cannabis type Uber. Maybe you picking people up, taking them to the stores. So there's different services you can get into without having to get a business license. Think about the problems all in this industry and how you can solve them. All right, let's go. Consumption tools. How can we break into the game, into the supply game? For those who consume and you figure out there's problems, for example, concentrates. Think about that. A lot of people do not get into the concentrate game because of all the tools that's usually needed. And people are constantly trying to evolve and make it easier for people to to consume cannabis concentrates. Think about ways of how you can do that. I mean, even if it's a service to where you are teaching people how to consume concentrates, or maybe it's a service that you help set up concentrate parties where you provide all the tools. One of the biggest things, the headaches, is cleaning. Maybe, you know, how you have a dry cleaners. You have a consumption tool cleaners, all right? Or people can drop off their tools. Usually it gets so gunky, they end up just buying another one. But you are the dry cleaners of consumption tools. I mean, just one idea. Just think about any of the problems that you have when you consume it. If you feel me out there, let me know. Let me know. But consumption tools is huge. Whether, even if you're a glass blower, if you are a blunt roller, maybe you have a different type of paper, stash containers, something that's good for your purse, something that's good to travel with, different ideas. So think about consumption tools as well as an industry to get in here as well. And you can get into dispensary sales right now without having to have a license. As long as you got to be unique, got to be different, got to be solving a problem. What problem are you solving when it comes to consuming? I know there's a lot of problems when it comes to concentrates, even with flower. Is there a problem with the way that you notice when you're trying to roll things, or maybe things are being stored and it gets dry? Maybe those Mylar bags are doing something to your bud, and maybe you need something to protect it in, or something you're doing with driving. Ways that you are consuming, think of all the problems that you can solve when it's consuming. The next time you consume it, man, there's friction here. Ah, bam, idea. How I can solve some friction in this industry. All right, growing products. You think about nutrients. That's one of the clear growing products. But if you're a grower, you know, one of the biggest headaches is about watering. You know, how can you come up with a product that's good to measure if you need water or not? Or something that's going to, you know, one of the biggest problems is people trying to, they say, okay, I'm going to maybe build an irrigation system. And really what's holding them back is the time that's going to take them to do the irrigation system. Maybe you can get the size of their grow, their table, their tent, and you can build the system for them and ship it to them. So all they got to do is plug and play their irrigation system, whether they're using tables or maybe they're using pots. Just think of ideas if you're in a garden of how you can solve that. I mean, that's what, like, trimming scissors, that's what it comes from. People figure out, oh, my trimmer takes on these automatic scissors, 1,000 different types of scissors, because, you know, trimming is one of the pain in the asses of growing. And people are still trying to figure out how to make that less of a pain of ass. So you think about ways of how you could do that. Speaking of that, you talk about, well, you have a trimming staff, which we're going to get to staffing in a minute. So yes, growing products is key. So if you're growing, think about the tools, think about different ways you can make things easier if you are growing as well. So growing products, not just stuff to feed the plant, ways, man, there's different ways, different lights, different cameras that maybe, because some people don't put cameras in their vegging rooms or the flower rooms because there's a light on there. Maybe you just have a certain cover that can cover a light of a camera. So you can still have a camera in your room. Just think about, you know, different problems that you can solve when it comes to growing. All right, number 6 of 9, staffing solutions. We just talked about this. If you get into retail business, you get into a growing business, listen, business is all fun and gravy until people get involved, until you have employees. Shit's fun on your own, especially. Oh, yeah, you know, I got your own business, doing things on your own. Oh, shit's all great. Oh, man, then you're about to expand. Now you got 2, 3, 4, 5 employees. Now you find yourself as a psychologist. You find yourself as a business owner. Find yourself as a mom. Find yourself as a dad. Now you got to deal with their issues, and you got to manage this, and you got schedules to do. Yeah, shit's all fun and gravy until you got employees involved. So then there's turnover. You got to be able to filter out and find those different employees. So if you have staffing solutions to where if a business owner can go to a staffing agency or a person and says, you know what, I'm going to come to you. And I'm looking for a bartender. I'm looking for someone to run my front desk. I'm looking for someone who can trim. I'm looking for someone who can help water my plants. I'm looking for someone to grow. There's a different ways that you can staff. It's not, and then you can narrow it down. Again, what problem? Just say I staff all things cannabis. Be known for one thing. Say you staff growing. I know Joe Smo is known for staffing growing businesses. When I think about growing, I think about Joe Smo. The narrow you are. For example, if I had a knee issue, all right, if I tore my ACL, am I going to go to just a general doctor, or am I going to go to someone who specializes in knees? I'd rather go to someone who specializes in freaking knees for that specific thing and not just go to a general practitioner for my knee issue. Same thing applies to cannabis. The more specific you are, the higher of a chance of you succeeding in this industry. Niche down, narrow down to zero, lowest common denominator. All right. So staffing solutions is another one. Even tip services. We talked about, you know, people just coming in temporarily or helping recruit. You know, there's in every industry, there's that. This is no different. This is an industry. This is an industry, just like any other industry. This is a business. It just has cannabis involved. It just happened to have a plant that was used to oppress people. Now it's about to be an industry that's going to be normalized, and there's plenty of opportunity and problems to solve. All right, cool. Staffing. Consulting services. We talked about that a little bit before, but this is not just attorneys, not just those who are professional, but consulting services about how to consume, consulting on marketing, consulting on growing. What other consulting things? Any other consulting stuff? Maybe just business coaches. You know, you are a cannabis business coach. It's different between a business coach that just does any all things business. But what if you specialize and you understand the needs of a cannabis entrepreneur, because it's different. Rules and regulations are always changing. Being able to having to deal with state to state issues, being able to having to, you know, how do you scale a cannabis business? So even, I mean, being able to consult people from a cannabis point of view is something you don't need to have a license for. So consulting services. Number 8, security. And yes, not just talking, it's obvious when you walk into a shop, you got people with security, armor, bulletproof vests and all that jazz. But what about just, you know, security of your computer? You know, what about your files? You know, it could be a technical aspect of that type of security. There's people who grow and security is one of their highest expenses. Maybe you can help solve that expense by, you know what? You have a neighborhood security scenario where, you know, maybe you drive around every half hour, right? Instead of you having to sit there for, you know, 12 hours, 24 hour security, maybe you just need someone to just drive around, check on spots. And maybe you have 5, 6, 10 spots in that area or in that person's route, and you grow from there. So yeah, security is a huge component in a business that you do not have to have a license for. So think about that. And then number 9, education, education, education. Education. And this is where, you know, I fall in at right now, as far as a couple brands. You see a couple brands behind me, you know, G3 Cannabis Therapy Network. You know, the goal here is to restore cannabis as therapy and start educating people back on how cannabis was always used. It was always used as therapy for thousands, thousands, thousands of years before anyone had a lab test and wanted to know what the terpene profile was. People still use cannabis as therapy, whether it was for pain, whether it was chill the fuck out, whether it was to just relax, whatever it was, cannabis was still used as therapy. And the goal for G3 and this podcast and the network and all the other brands that fall underneath it is to help restore cannabis as therapy. How? Through education, through filtering a lot of misinformation, through being a clearinghouse of information, being there and not having one biased opinion over another. It's like, you know what? Let's just speak facts. Let's just go true down the line. This is what cannabis is. I'm not trying to persuade you that cannabis is this miracle thing that solves all your world problems. It doesn't. Nor is it something that's going to make you jump off a bridge if you smoke. But what is the balance understanding of cannabis? And I believe that balance is understanding the plant from a therapeutic point of view. That's what this problem is actually solving. The Cannabis Therapy Podcast is a tool on how we're doing that. Tiggity is a new business that's solving the problem that there really has to be a better system on how we select and recommend products, because indica and sativa is not true. You can't select products based upon, oh, this is indica, oh, it's gonna make me fall asleep, this is sativa, oh, it must be cerebral, I'm gonna go party. No, and then there's so many hybrids, you don't even know what the hell stuff is, and people rename everything. But indica and sativa means to tell you how a plant looks, but it's not meant to tell you how a plant's going to make you feel. No more than you can look at a fat Christmas tree and a skinny Christmas tree and be like, oh, I bet you if I smoke that, I'm going to feel like I'm going to be in a couch. No, it is a terrible system on how to select and recommend cannabis. Got to be something better. Really, the best way is, how do people really feel from smoking it? Batch by batch, because every different plant type, it's different from every different grower. If I had Blue Dream, my other friend had Blue Dream, same damn genetic. If you grow it outdoor, you get a different effect. I grew it indoor, different effect. Even different areas of the plant, of the light spectrum, gives you a different effect. So the best way to be able to understand and select and recommend products is from real people's feedback. Not talking about the feedback that you see on and Weed Maps about, oh, that shit's fire. Oh, man, that shit's dank. Oh, man, that shit knocked me in the ass. Well, that's not helping me out as far as my selecting if I have a certain intention, if I'm trying to use it from a therapeutic point of view, meaning if I'm looking to go to sleep, or if I'm looking to relax, if I'm looking to get into the flow and write some music and do a rap, if I got some knee pain, that's what I need for. So Tiggity is a online journal that's going to allow people to journal how cannabis actually affects them. And then that's going to be shared amongst the community. And people can find products based upon real people's feedback. And it's like a Netflix for cannabis. Everybody gives a certain rating. People ask, what's the Tiggity? What that means is, what's the recommended mood and effect? Do you recommend this for that or not recommend it for that? Problems we're solving. Think about it. That's all this shit just comes up. Just problems. The Craft Cannabis Club. You know, the problem with that, you know, you know how people say that how the big people are fearing big industry, big business is going to come over and just take over this industry, which could be true unless people come together, the small businesses, the small mom and pops come together and really start educating people on the craft of cannabis. Yes, big business can do mass produced food. It's all good. Mass produced chickens. You know, there's a lane for fast food, but there's also a lane for gourmet home cooking. And that's where the Craft Cannabis Club is, to bring people together to network, share resources, and to evolve and advance in the craft cannabis business. And that's what this is. So yeah, so all these different areas and all these different ways is how we are trying to solve problems here. Same thing here, through education. The Homegrown Weed Summit was about education. I'm staying here because education, you could think about this as well. It's about education because you know how you go to a lot of these conferences, a lot of them have to do with large grows. You go to MJ BizCon or KennaCon, any of these different cons and conferences or expos. It's about people growing 10,000 plants, 20,000 plants, 1,000 plants. What if I just want to grow 4? What if I just want to grow 6 or my 12 plants or 72 plants? Where's education on that? And then, say I could YouTube it. Or there's a lot of different books. That's also a problem. So much misinformation, so much stuff out there. You could spend 4 or 5 months following someone's advice, and then it's shit, you have a bad harvest. So Homegrown Weed Summit was to bring people who actually have experience in growing, learn from their failures and their successes so that we can all become better growers. That's the Homegrown Weed Summit. That's where that came from. So yes, so all these things, again, think about your target audience, your market, the problem you're solving, and then how you're actually going to do that. If you think about those three things, you can go through all these different industries we talked about. Let me recap. We talked about packaging and labeling. We talked about software and technology. We talked about business services, consumption tools, growing products, staffing solutions, consulting services, security businesses, and education. Education. There's a huge need for education in this industry. So think about those ways as you are looking at getting to this industry, and think about the businesses that you do not need to have a license for. We have some pre-submitted questions. If you have any questions right now for me, it's all good too. We do have some pre-submitted questions. Jen, if you could be over there, you can kind of pop some of these up. I'm going to talk about the questions. First one was from Natalie. Is a license required? Let me put this on a different slide here. That's our contact info, all that jazz. Let me change my screen. I'm done with the slides. Hopefully, you know, you guys got some good feedback from this. Let me know in the comments, all that jazz. So, all right. So Natalie says, is a license required to sell clones, and is it legal to do so? Good question. Now, again, here's my answer. I'm not your attorney. Anything I say, do not take it as legal advice. But one way here in Michigan, I can speak for, is that technically since hemp became federally legal, anything that's 0.3% or less THC is technically taken off the Controlled Substance Act. A plant itself in a clone stage, how much THC does it have? Think about that. It's not flowering. There's really minute any type of cannabinoids on the stem or the stalks. So think about that. So not telling you yes, not telling you no, but of course, if you do have a state license, you're able to sell clones within the state. But without a license, giving out clones as hemp is a idea. I would like you to run that past a attorney. I may tell you the same thing. Well, it can work. But I'm giving you that idea. Is it required? I am not going to tell you yes, not going to tell you no. But if you're doing it as hemp, as clones. Now, as a caregiver, no, I could sell it to my patients. But we're talking about, that's still like a state license, technically. It's a caregiver license. It's a medical license. But without a license at all, we're talking about just no license at all. Can you sell clones? If you're, there's people who do sell clones. And from my understanding, how they do sell clones is, again, you're not marketing it as marijuana plants. You're marketing it as hemp plants, okay? Because hemp is taken out of the Federal Substance Act. All right. Hopefully that helps, Natalie. Let me know if you're here. Or if you're not here live, in the comments, if that worked out, or if you have further questions about that, let us know. We do try our best to look at and read all the comments. I say we, Jen does. Jen goes through all the comments and makes comments. If it's something that I need to answer, she will let me know. All right, cool. Next question, how to sell cannabis infused food? The word sell there is key. Technically, you cannot sell any cannabis here in the state of Michigan, or with any state that I know of, without a license. So the word sell. Now there are some opportunities, and we're talking about this from not getting a license. There is the gifting ability of infused foods where you hear of cannabis chefs. They're chefs, they do pop-up parties, and they may infuse food, but they're not necessarily selling the infused food. They may sell tickets to the event, and the food happens to be infused. So those are some ways that some other people are getting around getting a license. I mean, long term, you want to think about getting a license if you're trying to do this on a mass scale. But if you're just trying to sell infused foods, it's hard to do it without a state license. But ways that people have done it was under the gifting clause, where under the state of Michigan, a person 21 years of age or older may gift cannabis to someone else 21 years of age or older, as long as you do not receive Renumeration. Renumeration is the key word. Renumeration meaning you receive something in value for that. So those are the ways you got to think around, you know, not directly selling the infused food, because technically you will be violating law. So the clear advice, again, none of this, I'm not your attorney, I'm not giving legal advice. The clear advice would be to get a state license for infused foods, because there's a lot of different requirements as far as milligrams or THC testing and all that stuff. You're doing this on a mass scale. But there are people who do it without a license. And the way that they have done it, from my understanding, is under the state of Michigan, under the gifting clause, where they're not directly selling cannabis. They are indirectly doing it, or really giving it away. So hope that helps. Let me know if that answers your question, or if that, I mean, need me to elaborate even more on that. But it's definitely cannabis, because you also got to think about the safety risks of someone over-consuming, going out, and then something happened to them. They come back and they say, oh, you know what, this food, you know, did something to me. I mean, I can think about how people still sell food now, and you know, mom and pops, they're dieted, you know, people are selling food out of their houses. They're selling meals. Technically you need a food handler's license and things like that. People still do it. Not just infused food, but regular food. There's pop-up shops without a food handler's permit, stuff like that. They still do it. But to do this on a scale, on a large scale, it's hard to do it without a license. But if you do give it away, it could be given away as long as you're not getting money directly for that. So it could be another type of service that people are getting. Maybe they're paying for meal prep. And just throwing ideas, and then some infused items are included in that meal prep, and that meal prep has a higher price, but it can't be astronomically higher, like $3,000 for this $20 meal. But you could still have some cushion there. So, yeah, cool. All right, another question we had was from DB. DB said, "Is there a way to open a bakery and sell cannabis desserts without getting a processor license?" This is exactly what we just discussed just now. There's not a way to open up a retail store here in Michigan and sell infused items without a retail license. Our processor license only allows you to process the product into edibles or food or whatever you're doing, but you cannot, as a processor, retail cannabis. You will need a processor and a retail license. So the only way that you can sell cannabis in the state of Michigan legally is with a state license. So that is not one of the nine categories. But now you can consult people. For example, maybe you teach people how to bake with cannabis. All right. Think about ways, or you're not touching the plant. You can provide the ingredients. Okay. So you provide the ingredients, and maybe the one thing you provide the baked goods, kind of like there's that meal thing where everything kind of comes ready to cook. Maybe you have all the things ready for things to be baked. And then all they need to do is get the cannabis. And you don't even have to include the cannabis. No, it could be included as a free gift. Or you could just say, you know, cannabis not included, just like batteries not included. You need to go to the store and buy some batteries. So that's a way, as far as the bakery. You can have a normal bakery, but then still have a cannabis side to it, to where these are cannabis kits. The only thing that's missing is adding cannabis, and then giving them an outlet to where they can get that cannabis to add into your recipe. So that's an idea. So hopefully that, you know, can spark some ideas and give you an aha on how you can still think about how can you make this happen, not how you can't, how can you, and still, you know, stay out of jail. No one wants to go to jail. Sucks. So hopefully that helps. So DB, think about that. And then if you are going to get a license, it would have to be a retail license and a processor handling license if you're doing that. All right. Daryl or Siobhan, hopefully I said that right. Siobhan, how can I get into the cannabis industry without that expensive fee? What are some routes I can take to become an entrepreneur in the industry? Great question. We went over nine different, businesses, really categories that you can get into. Again, it is, you can get into the packaging and labeling business. Think about, and that's a lot, so many different subcategories underneath that packaging and labeling. Think about, and I label these in different categories just to get your mind to start thinking. Software technology, that's another way. Business services, is another way. Consumption tools is another way. Growing products is another way. Staffing solutions is another way. Consulting services is another way. Security, education are different categories that you can go in. And despite what category you go in, you want to think about what problem you're solving. What problem are you solving? And who is your target audience? Who are you trying to serve? The more you narrow that down, and the more you can clearly define that problem, and you can articulate your solution, the better you're going to be in this industry. And that just really is not just cannabis. That's just business in general. You got to think about who you're trying to serve, what problem you're serving, what problem you're solving, and then how you're actually doing that. How does your solution make their life better? How does your solution make things easier, make things faster? That's the ways you want to look at when you're trying to get into this business industry. All right. Daryl said, how can licensing fees be discounted? Licensing fees can get discounted based upon here in Michigan, in different states, social equity programs. They discount licensing fees. You can get up to, I believe, 75% off here in Michigan. Whether you have been a caregiver in Michigan, you get a discount for that. If you've been arrested or charged with a marijuana crime, you can get a discount for that, whether it's a felony or a misdemeanor. And if you live in a area or a city that has been disproportionately affected by a war on drugs, primarily urban areas, Wayne County, Genesee County, there's a list on the state of Michigan site on different areas that you can qualify. And then apply for the, we actually have a topic coming up in April. I'm going to teach and walk through step-by-step how to apply for social equity here in Michigan. Without an attorney, without having to pay for it, just simply submitting it and getting your status, your answer within a week. Excuse me. So we're going to talk about that coming in April. So that's a good question. Another way you could get discounted fees would be from different cities. So you got the state social equity program, and then different cities have their own kind of equity program. Like the city of Detroit, they have what is called a legacy program. We're actually going to talk about that in April too, break down the Detroit legacy program, what that means, if there's still room to get involved with it. But if you've been living in the city of Detroit for X amount of years, usually 10 years or more, you can get first in line and get discounts on city fees. So there's city fees and there's state fees. So that's how, and there's licensing fees on the state and on the city. So how to get discounts on the state fee, social equity programs, and then check into your city if they have any city fee discounts based upon social equity as well. So that's how you do that. All right, next question from Sully. What's up, dude, Sully? What solutions do you wish you had in order to give people a better cannabis club experience? Look at that. Ooh! What solutions think I had in order to give people a better cannabis experience? You know, that is a question I constantly ask myself all the time. I be analyzing, looking at people when they're in here, thinking, man, how can I be better? How was the check-in? Where was the friction? What were the pain points? I think looking at solutions as far as right now, say, for example, airflow, making sure airflow is good, being able to be, with COVID, things change things as well. Creating engagement, I would say, is one of the current problems I'm trying to solve is engagement, getting people to connect. Because one of the things here, now this is the Cannabis Connect, but the idea, we usually did this inside the club where people would talk about their businesses. There'll be a business presenter, and people will share topics and network with each other. Their business cards say, hey, I'm looking at growing, or hey, you know, I do logos. Hey, I do embroidery t-shirts. And people made these connections inside the club. Then we went virtual, and that's kind of where we are right now. Maybe I should change my screen. You guys are probably tired of that screen right there. So the engagement, I think, is key. And how to do that physically when you're in person, and then also how to do that virtually is a way I want people to have a better club experience. So you have the in-club version, and you also have the virtual version. So to be able to do that, create that community and that engagement to get people to really get to know each other and share those resources and to deliver on what our goal is key. The other thing is being able to We do our best. I mean, a lot of the things we kind of solve it, kind of the whole point. Like, we wanted people to feel comfortable. So we definitely created a comfortable environment where people felt, whether, you know, you was rich or whether you had little money, no money, whatever it is, black, white, orange, purple, dog, cat, you felt comfortable here. Whether you're in a tuxedo or you were in some PJs, you felt comfortable here. And as mature, like-minded people. So the comfortability, we hear that a lot. So I think engagement is one of the key. And I think giving people table services, people being able to be continually trying to improve the experience to be world-class. So, man, you touched the topic. I can go on and on about this. Our goal is to deliver a world-class experience here at the club. So it's constantly, how can things level up? How can we deliver this world-class experience to where, you know, the stigmas are not there? You would do normal things such as, you know, you can normally go to a movie. Well, you come here, you can watch a movie and not feel like an outcast because cannabis is involved. So those are some solutions. Engagement, I'll say, was one of the top. And then creating that community will be another one as well. And incentives, creating rewards, creating systems. Right now, we're building a check-in system from scratch. There was no solution out there that allowed us to do what we're trying to do when you check in, to really give like this world-class experience. When you check in, we kind of know what your favorite products are. We kind of understand what your habits are, what you like and don't like, if there's any specials that you should know about, or even when it comes to paying your dues. So just using technology and software in that industry for a social club aspect is huge. And especially, there's going to be a lot more consumption lounges as well coming in with state licenses. And all those things need to come into play to make a better experience. So software technology is key, and engagement, how to create that community is key as well. So thank you for asking that. I appreciate that, Sully. Yes, you got to check it out, though. You got to check it out. You're more than, you'll be treated like family when you come here. I'll tell you that's for sure. Treat like family. All right. Next question we had is Jamil. Jamil, is the state enforcing secure transit laws? Secure transit laws, meaning, well, if you're a state licensed business, yes, you cannot transit your product. If you're a grow, you have to go through a state licensed grower. That's what has to happen. If you're a processor, it has to go through a state licensed processor, et cetera. Now, if we're talking about state law as far as personal use, I know there was this big hoopla. People think it had to be in a trunk, which was some legislation passed in a lame duck section, but that was proved to be unconstitutional because it wasn't part of the Medical Marijuana Act. And you just can't pass some legislation in lame duck section thinking that everybody in the world just figured that out. So what if I had a joint in my backpack in my back of my back seat? Now you're telling me I'm gonna get a ticket. So a lot of those tickets got dismissed. So it doesn't have to be in the back of your trunk. However, I would advise it still to put it in the back of your trunk because you don't need to give an extra reason for the cop to search your car, which could lead to other stuff. But legally, it does not technically have to be in the back of your trunk. Now, it cannot be like open, as far as open containers right in front of you, you know, your ashtrays, you got a fresh blunt right there. That right there could be a case for you getting a DUI or OUI, driving under the influence, driving intoxicated. It doesn't have to be locked away, but it is recommended for legal reasons to have it locked away and not in plain sight. Now, how that's being enforced, if it is in plain sight and things smell like cannabis, then they're going to be asking you questions. And we actually had a talk with this with Kamorn. What episode was that? Traveling with cannabis. It was a part of the Homegrown Weed Summit. Hold on. It was traveling. Jen, if you're there, let me know. Help me out if it's in the comments. But traveling, the law enforcement etiquette. Yeah, law enforcement etiquette. We did one with the Pop Brothers, like, you know, how to shut the fuck up, law enforcement etiquette and how to deal with law enforcement. We talked about traveling. And then we also followed up with Kamorn as well. So check out those episodes. It's in our podcast where they gave legal advice on traveling as well. So check that out. But yes, if you are having it in plain sight, you could get a ticket or even worse, get an OUI as driving under the influence. But one of the plain advice from the attorneys was just, you'd never admit, you know, if don't just really shut the fuck up. Don't say anything about if you were consuming or not, because that will lead you down the road of getting a OUI, operating under the influence. So I definitely won't admit to that. But if you're transporting cannabis, best way to do it is not have it in plain sight. Okay. All right. But if it's not in the trunk, it's not like, you know, you're going to, but if you're talking about from a state license point of view, if you're growing, you have to, yes, you just can't be a transporter for a licensed grow and move it for them. They have to give that to a state licensed transportation company. So hopefully that makes sense. Cool. All right. Other question was from Brett. Brett, not gonna low pokey. Hope I said that right. That's what's up. How can I market this CBD THC based healing cream without breaking the law? Currently, my customers need a medical card for any THC cream infused product. Well, I'd like to know what state you're in, Brett. However, if you're talking about CBD THC based, if we're gonna be talking about hemp or we're gonna talk about cannabis meaning the plant with 0.3% or more THC. If it's hemp, it's 0.3% less THC. The amount of CBD doesn't matter. But if it's hemp, you can market it as long as you're not making medical claims, such as this will make your leg grow back. This can cure cancer. Cure is a big thing. You don't want to market any kind of hemp product with medical claims. That is a way to get shut down quick. And then each state has different hemp licensing. Like in Michigan, there's a processing and handler license that you can get. It's really cheap. It's like $150, something like that, to where you could, you know, process and handle hemp and retail hemp. But there's plenty of people who do sell hemp without that type of license. You go to a gas station, there's hemp products, Whole Foods, CVS, wherever, people online. The toothpaste is outside of the tube. Really too much a toothpaste outside the tube for anyone trying to enforce people from selling hemp products. So, but as long as you are staying out of the lane of medical claims, you can market that cream if it's hemp. If it's THC based, CBD based, then we're going right back to how can I sell baked goods? How can I sell cannabis? Anything that is considered marijuana / cannabis, something that's 0.3% or more THC, you're going to have a state license for that, unless you're trying to do some type of gift scenario, which again is a gray area. But unfortunately, you know, because of state regulations, the way the rules are set up, game is rigged, is what it is. Some people got to play in that gray area until they're able to kind of get into that more clear area. You can call it the white area because a lot of white people, and I'm joking. Don't get offended. Man up. All right. That is it for all of my questions. Cool. Thank everybody for tuning in. That's what's up. This was, man, I was only going to go for a half hour without our guest today. But we kept life rolling and we went for a full hour about the businesses that you can get into without a state license. So definitely let me know your comments. Let me know your feedback on YouTube. Subscribe, all that jazz. Join the Cannabis Therapy Group. That's our free group. Join that. It's a free Facebook group. We also have private groups for those who are Craft Club members. For those listening out there, what up, though? And also be on the lookout for our upcoming Homegrown Weed Summit 2.0. What's up, Facebook user? Hi, what's up? Unless you sign in on StreamYard, it doesn't really say your name, but thank you for engaging. I really appreciate that. Much love. And hope you guys like that. Rate this 5 stars. Anything less than that, keep it to yourself. Appreciate that. Much love. All right, y'all. That is it. I am out. Man. This was fun. I don't want to leave. I'm going to keep talking. All right. No, I'm up. All right, y'all. Until next time. Thanks for listening to the Cannabis Therapy Podcast. For more cannabis therapy blogs and resources, check our website, CannabisTherapyNetwork.org. CannabisTherapyNetwork.org.